Well, welcome to Echo Church. So glad you're joining us at all of our campuses today, North San Jose, Sunnyvale, South San Jose. Those of you watching online, we're so glad you're joining us for Hero Makers. We're in this really cool series, learning how to amplify the impact of our lives. And God's been doing so much in our midst. In fact, these are really exciting times. If you were here last week, Pastor Andy shared the first principle or practice of a Hero Maker. But not only that, we announced that we are going to be launching a fourth campus at Echo Church. God opened a miraculous door for us, and we're coming to Fremont in 2019. So awesome to celebrate that. If you are in the Fremont area, East Bay, get ready, because we're coming your way. So exciting to celebrate that with everyone today. Not only that, but last week we unpacked the fact that we are also in this journey that we call the year-end giving. It's the Hero Maker offering. And every end of the year, we all pool our resources together to make a collective impact in our city, in our region, and in the world. And everything we give toward this offering goes beyond our walls to expand the impact and the message of Jesus out of what's happening here at Echo. So I hope you join us for that. What we're asking you to consider doing at Echo Church is give beyond your regular giving, above your regular giving, to the causes of the Echo offering. And if you haven't looked at the booklet that you received yet, if you were here the last couple weeks, make sure you swing by the hub at every campus today. Pick up the booklet. You're going to hear more stories and initiatives very similar to the video that you just watched of new churches we're going to launch and new campuses we're going to launch together starting in Fremont next. And not only that, but ways we're going to serve our community better, ways that we're going to impact our region promoting different organizations that are doing significant work in our city. So check that out, and I hope you join us. The commitment day for the Hero Maker offering is December the 9th, Sunday, December the 9th. So from now till then, we want you to pray and talk as a family and just ask God, what do you want us to contribute toward these initiatives that are going to make an impact in our region? Well, today, we're going to talk about the next practice of Hero Makers. And if you were here last week, Pastor Andy introduced this topic so well of multiplication thinking. How do we change our mindsets from just thinking about me to thinking my life can count for more? What's the why behind why I live, and who are the people that I'm going to impact with my life? And the heartbeat of our church is really around this theme. In fact, the whole reason we rebranded, renamed our church Echo Church is because we believe from the depth of our hearts that what God does in us and what God does in our region here can echo beyond us. And if we embrace this mindset of making heroes, the impact can be so significant. But here's the question that we have to wrestle with. Okay, we want to think multiplication, but practically speaking, how does this happen? Because so many people want their lives to count, but so often our lives don't count, and it just disappears. The products that we develop, they don't stay long, they don't impact lives. The stuff that we invest our lives into oftentimes don't end up being significant. So what is it that can shift inside of our practices and our habits and our mindsets that lead us into this kind of life that we're talking about of making heroes? And we're going to talk about the second practice of a hero maker, which is really defined in this concept of, that we call disciple multiplying. Disciple multiplying. See, at the end of the life of Jesus, right when he was about to end his life on earth and go back to heaven, he looked at his followers that he called disciples, and he said to them, here's your mission. Go into all the world and spread this good news, this message, and make disciples of all nations and teach them my ways and baptize them in my name. In other words, take what I've invested into you and pour it into others that can do the same. Multiply yourselves. We're going to talk about what it looks like to invest as Jesus invested his life how to make disciples. And we're going to look at practices in the life of Jesus, mindsets and practices that shaped the way he impacted the world. And in fact, in light of multiplication thinking, we're doing something really special at all of our campuses today, and I think you're going to love it. We have appointed or selected or chosen 9 other teachers that are going to be teaching alongside me today. So in just a few minutes, I'm going to open up the first principle, but then I'm going to pass it on to every local campus, and there are going to be 9 teachers at every service throughout the day today that are going to teach you point 2 and 3 of this message, and then they're going to pass it back to me, and I'm going to conclude it with us together. So I can't wait for you to hear from all of these leaders today. It's going to be a blast. So if you have your scriptures with you, open to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, we're going to talk about a little text here in verse 13. But before I read it, let me give you a little bit of the context of what's happening in the life of Jesus at this point. See, Jesus had already been walking from town to town in Jerusalem and areas of Galilee, and he's doing miracles, and he's healing people, and he's sharing a message that is starting to revolutionize cities, and crowds begin to follow him in such a way that it says that there was a point in verse 9 that Jesus instructed his disciples to get a boat ready so that the crowds would not crush him. There were so many crowds around him that he's feeling like, man, these crowds are going to crush me. And so he's like, put a boat in the water. I'm going to go to the water so that they can't come and crush me to death. So there are so many crowds following him. But then we see him do something super unique. In fact, this is what we believe made it so that Jesus' message is still talked about 2,000 years later all over the globe. Watch this. Verse 13, Mark chapter 3, it says, afterwards, Jesus went up on a mountain and he called out the ones he wanted to go with him. So pay attention to these words. He called out. And then it says, and they came to him. Then he appointed 12 of them and called them his apostles. The word apostle means the sent ones. So he's saying he invited them to go with him, and then he called them and appointed them and gave them a new identity. And it says they were to accompany him, and he would send them out to preach. That word preach is the word proclaim. So the message that he started to proclaim to others, he's saying, you 12 are going to continue proclaiming this message. And then it says this, he gave them authority even to cast out demons. And these were the 12 he chose: Simon, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, Thaddeus, Simon, and Judas. And so here's Jesus, crowds following him. And then he, in the midst of all of the crowds, what most people would consider success, he pulls a few of them out from the crowd, selects them, and says, you 12, we're going to spend different time together with you. And he would send them out. You see, he couldn't possibly do this with everyone, but he could do it with a few. He taught the masses, the crowds, but he really invested in a few of them. Most people think that for our lives to have great impact, we got to invest in crowds. We got to get our products to masses of people. We got to get our message to everybody by just sitting in front of crowds and proclaiming it to them. And the measure of success to so many in our generation is how many followers are in this huge list of people that are behind me. But Jesus measured it differently. You see, most people think to make an impact, you focus on the mass, but Jesus modeled a different way. And the number one principle I want us to pay attention to is this, that the way that we multiply our lives into others is that we choose a few and invest deeply into them. If we live for the crowd, we're going to have small thinking. But if we invest in the few, that's when things begin to amplify. And there's some common misconceptions related to this. Let me just say a couple of them. One is this: not everyone is equally worth our personal investment. See, I know it's hard for us to grasp this, but not everybody in your life and my life are worth all of our time or the primary investment of our time. We have to be selective. Another misconception: if you try to give equal investment, you're not going to be fruitful. See, some people think if I'm not fair with everybody and distributing my time equally, my life is not going to be fruitful. Or people are going to be upset with me. And there might be some truth to some of that in terms of being people being upset. But really, the way that you multiply yourself is by investing in a few, to choose our circles. Listen to these statistics. 3/4 of Jesus' emphasis was on training his disciples. From the time he told them to go out and multiply themselves in Matthew 4 until his death, 73% of his time was spent with 12 people. And then the Gospels, the eyewitness accounts of Jesus, record 46 events he spent with the disciples, the 12, compared to 17 events he spent with the masses. Almost 3-1, Jesus multiplied himself this way. The crowds were addition. The disciples were multiplication. You see the difference? When you invest in a few, it changes everything. So what do you think about when you think about who to invest in? And then think about this other question. Who are the people in your life right now that maybe God has already arranged for you to be around them so that your life can be transferred to theirs, so that your principles, your lessons, your values, your belief can bleed into their lives? And how did Jesus choose his disciples? If you were here last week, you know a part of the why or the how, which is that he prayed. And I know it's so simple, but he says, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out workers. And part of that journey is just asking God, God, would you show me who you've put around me, placed around me, so that my life can influence theirs and they can take the things you've done in me into their lives and multiply it to people around them. And here's the other thing that we see. We don't know all the qualifications that the disciples maybe had that he chose, like what were the characteristics that Jesus most looked for. But we do see some patterns. And one of those patterns is that they all had a spirit of humility. They were able to, are willing to do something with what they were called or invited into. When Jesus taught them, they took risks. When he invited them to take bold steps of faith, they would say yes. Now, they were just ordinary people like you and I, but they had a humility that allowed them to be teachable and for Jesus to speak into their lives. In fact, one of the phrases we used to display this is that they were probably a little bit scared, intimidated. They felt like they weren't quite ready, but they were available and willing. And when they were called to the task, they said yes. And I think it's very similar to the 9 leaders that are about to step into your stage. They are available. They were willing. They said yes. They might feel a little bit like they're not ready to go. But I would love for you to give a warm welcome to all the leaders stepping up to your stage to continue teaching us the way that Jesus multiplied people.
First off, I'm not scared of you at all. Hey guys, if you don't know me yet, my name's Joe Newton, and I'm the student pastor here at Echo. And I get to work with a whole bunch of hero makers like Leia Cassania, Ruben, TJ Rhodes, all these people who are investing their lives into students. But my favorite title is probably husband, aka baby daddy, to Roxy Newton, who is right in the middle of hero making with our 4th baby and our 1st girl up here leading worship at 8 months pregnant. My goodness. I'm like, stop jumping around. Like Pastor Felipe said, I'm here to share points 2 and 3 of today's message. And before I get started, you should agree with me. We are so blessed to have awesome hero makers like Pastor David, Pastor Felipe, and Pastor Andy, who we are able to serve and invest into our lives. And so we're going to get into point number 2. And point number 2 is, as we multiply our lives into others, is to model the way and invest in others. Now, today, I'm going to talk about the hero makers in my life. And I'm not up here to say that, hey, look at me, I'm a hero. But these 3 people encouraged me to invest into other people. See, most of us can assign a name to the reason why we're here today, right? Whether you were invited by a friend, you were tricked by a friend and you're going to get lunch later, you were invited by a coworker, there is a name to the reason that you are here and the reason you stayed here. Now, I don't remember what the pastor was talking about the night I gave my life to Jesus. I don't remember the worship song that was sang. I know it was sang by Roxy, but that's about it. But what I do know are the names of people that chose to invest in me along the way. See, I know for a fact it's because of them that I still have a relationship with Jesus, that I'm even up on here in this stage sharing with you guys. See, people took the time to be hero makers for me and invest in me. There's a hero maker in the Bible, and his name is Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, it says this. He says, "You should imitate me just as I imitate Christ." Now, this is crazy, right? This is like, I was thinking about this. This is a pretty hard call. This is like me being at the Little League field, getting all the dads around, right? Like, hey, guys, come here. If you want to be a dad that's really, really good, just keep your eyes on me, right? It's not going to happen. But Paul says this because he knows that the pursuit of being more like Jesus will not only benefit his life, but the life of those that he's willing to invest in. That what he is going to learn and do, the way he will live his life, will pour out into others. So I'm going to talk about the hero makers for me. The first hero maker was my dad. I don't know if my, there he is right there. I'm going to cry. Don't look at me. But the first hero maker in my life is a man that chose to spend every day with me on a baseball field, modeling the character of Jesus, showing me what it looks like for a father to love a son. I know that God loves me because of the way that my dad modeled the character of Jesus for me. Or like a 51-year-old Juan Hurtado, who took a broken, insecure, and lonely Joe Newton at 20 years old. We're sitting at Mission City Coffee Shop, and he let me belittle him and mock his relationship with Jesus. And seeing what I needed most, he stands up, he wraps his arms around me, and he says, "I love you," and then invites me over for breakfast, showing me how to model and love people through their brokenness. I was going to say chorizo and eggs, but I don't know if you guys knew what that was. They're like, chorizo? Or like Yvette Campos, this is my best friend's mom, who knew after a Wednesday night at church and youth group that I was a little sad because at the time, I was the only one in my family going to church. And I'd sleep on her floor all the time. And I remember one day she grabbed me. She didn't grab me. She invited me into the kitchen. And she says, "Hey, I know things don't look the way you want them to look right now, but I know God's placed something in you, and I can't wait to see what he does with you." Teaching me how to give encouragement and hope to those who don't have it. See, these were the hero makers in my life who, whether they knew it or not, were modeling the character of Jesus. They invested in me. Now, these weren't hero makers because someone at church gave them a title or because they were on staff at a church or they went through the hero maker book and were certified, but they were willing to be hero makers because they weren't willing to pass up an opportunity to invest in other people. And I'm grateful for their investment today. See, there are a few misconceptions when it comes to leading people and modeling the way. The first is sometimes we feel broken. We feel like God can't use us, that we're not a good example. Now, each one of these people that I mentioned, they would not label themselves a hero maker. They all had areas where they fell short, sin in their lives, insecurities. I'm sorry, Dad. But they didn't let that get in the way. They knew that just a little bit of time, a little bit of investment, and a little bit of encouragement, that what they are doing with their lives can multiply into someone else's. Another misconception is you may feel inadequate. Well, you are in very good company. I can't imagine being a disciple. It's probably like the hardest job in the world, right? Can you imagine leaving your normal job, and this guy says, "Follow me, we're going to change the world." Like, okay. You go on, and he begins to raise people from the dead and give sight to the blind and heal the sick and preach to thousands and cast out demons, and one day turns around to you and says, "Are you ready?" I would have ran. But if on a scale of 1 to 10, you are a three when it comes to a relationship with Jesus, I want you to know that there is a one and a two that is looking to you to model what it looks like to be a three. We all have room to grow. We all have work to do. There's an encouragement. Paul, the hero maker, he says this in Philippians 1:6. He says, I am certain that God who began a good work within you will continue its work or his work until it's finally finished. He says, model as you are, but know that you must continue to learn and grow as you go. So we can invest and model the way for other people. See, the third way Jesus multiplied his life into others was that he gave instruction and guidance. And so we all need instruction and guidance in our lives at one point. Now, I'm going to prove it to you, okay, because you probably don't believe me. So here's what we're going to do. On the count of three, I want everyone to raise their hand as high as you can, okay? Ready? One, two, three. Okay, now go 2 inches higher. What's up with that? Why didn't you just do it in the first place? Right? You're like, oh, he's not looking at me. This is good enough. See, even the disciples need a little bit of instruction and guidance so that they can reach a place that they didn't think that they could. And there's a story in the Bible. It's this historical teaching that Jesus has in Mark chapter 4, verse 30 through 41. And I'm going to read it to you. And as we read this, I just want you to think about his investment, his instruction, his guidance, okay? He, like Pastor Felipe said, he taught the crowds, but he invested in the few. So it says, this is Jesus talking, how can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? It is like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make nests in its shade. Jesus used many similar stories and illustrations to teach people as they could understand. In fact, in his public ministry, he never taught without using parables. But afterward, when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to them. Again, Jesus taught the crowds, but he instructed the few. He talked about planting a seed that's very, very small, but that can grow into something that is the biggest in its garden. So I know God has placed something in every single one of us. And today I want to ask you, what type of seed has he planted in you that's waiting to grow into something bigger than what you can see right now? See, a lot of times we disqualify ourselves, especially when we don't have the hero makers in our lives to continue to show us the way. I wonder what seed he's put in you. As we keep reading, Jesus is going to instruct and guide them one more time, but this time it's a little scary, right? This time it's not on this nice little hill with a little lunch and we're about to go on a nice boat ride. This time it gets a little rough. And verse 35 says, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind him, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. I think he's trying to prove a point. I really do. He's like, watch, they're going to come wake me up. The disciples woke him up shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They asked each other. Even the wind and the waves obey him. Guys, this is the question that has been rattling my mind since I started preparing for this message. Who is this man? See, they were still learning who Jesus was. And what's crazy is Pastor Felipe talked about it. They had seen him cast out demons. They had seen him teach a lot of different people, crowds. They've seen him. They've even been sent out by him. And when things got tough, they start to ask the question, who is this man? See, I love what Jesus doesn't do right here. He doesn't wake up, wipe the snot out of his eyes, and say, you wimps, you little sissies, I knew I should have picked another 12, right? He doesn't point anybody out and say, hey, Peter, you're a fisherman. Get it together. You shouldn't be scared. See, Jesus wasn't looking for 12 macho men. He wasn't looking for men who would never be afraid or men who would just rely on their own abilities. But what he was looking for was people who would know who he was without a shadow of a doubt. Simply put, I think he says this, you're still afraid because you're still learning to have faith in me. You still don't really know who I am. But when you do, watch what I'll do in you and through you. See, I think that if Jesus was going to change the world through these men like he promised that he would, he knew that they were going to have 100% full faith in who he was and what he was capable of. Pastor Felipe mentioned it, but you fast forward to Matthew 28. It's documented that Jesus is crucified and he's dead for 3 days, and then he appears back again to his disciples. All right, first of all, I've been like, whoa, he was right. He was who he said he was. Okay, I'm listening. But remember the boat when I read this passage here. Remember their fear in the boat. Remember his correction and guidance in the boat. He says, I now have been given all authority on heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Go make hero makers, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, guys, remember the boat. Remember their fear. He says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. To his last conversation, one of his last conversations with his disciples is to remind them, like, yeah, I knew that you didn't know me in the boat, but you know me now. You know who I am now, and you know what I'm capable of. Friends, I want to leave you with this as we bring Pastor Felipe back up. I wonder what seed has been planted inside each one of you that is waiting for full faith in Jesus to bring out your ability to become a hero maker. Guys, it's been great being up here. See you guys.
Would you join me in thanking the leader that stepped up at your campus to teach today? Can we give him a big hand of applause? Great job stepping up to the plate. I love what Jesus did and what we even just modeled for you today. Here's how we multiply our lives into others. Number one is we choose a few and invest deeply in them. Number two that you heard is we model the way. Number three is we give instruction and guidance. But then lastly, this is so important, we ought to believe in people. And I know it's simple, but see, so often we live our lives like we just believe in ourselves or we believe in the crowds, but Jesus had this ability to look people in the eye and call potential out of them. See, when we focus too much on the crowd, it's because we want the crowds to feed our attention and we want the crowds to make us feel significant. But when we invest in a few, it's so that we can call potential out of them. And this is what Jesus did in Mark chapter 3, just to review again what he did. He called them out in verse 13. Verse 14, he appointed them. He said, you are now my apostles. He gave them identity. He showed them who they are. Then it says that they were to accompany him. And then not only could they be with him, but he believed in them enough that he would send them out and gave them authority. See, the things that you have heard me teach, he says, now you go on and you pass it on to others. All authority has been given to you to continue the ministry that I started and modeled and invested into your hearts. And this is how the movement of Jesus has multiplied for generation after generation. You see, so often we see ourselves as not good enough, and people around us are thinking, I'm not good enough. But somebody in someone's life has to call that potential out of others. And I'm wondering who that is in your circle. Maybe it's the brother or the sister or your son or your daughter or your neighbor. Maybe it's the coworker that's been sitting next to you for a couple years now that you haven't seen your life as maybe a potential life to influence them, or the boss that might not even treat you well, or the employees that work under your care. God has positioned you around a circle. And maybe he's calling some of us or all of us to say, who are the people in that circle that you can invest your life into? See, I want to make sure that you come back next week, because next week we're going to unpack what this principle or this practice of a hero maker looks like that we call permission giving. How do we get called this potential out of others and give them the authority to run with the things that they've been entrusted with? See, here at Echo, we say this: we don't use people to develop our goals and careers and ambitions. We use our goals and ambitions and careers and skills to develop people. It's a different mindset. It's an upside down thinking kind of way of life, where we don't just do things to propel our goals forward, but we end up prioritizing the very thing that God prioritizes, which is people. We don't run over people to accomplish our tasks, but we can use our tasks and everything else God's put in our hands to develop the people around us. Who are those people for you? And I want to give you a very practical next step as we close our time together. One of them is this: that every semester at Echo Church, we run what we call echo groups. They're small group environments that shape the lives of the majority of the people in our community of faith. In fact, there's over 140 of these groups that were just launched in this semester. And we're starting now to position leaders to serve in the spring, February through May of 2019. And this is one of the best opportunities you have to be able to invest your lives and to leverage the skills and the talents and the hobbies and the gifts that God's given to you to shape lives in the context of small groups. And maybe you've never done this before, and I want to ask you to take a step of faith and to consider hosting or leading or apprenticing in an echo group in this next semester we call the spring semester. And here's a misconception people have. Sometimes people think, I am not a teacher, therefore God cannot use me to shape a life. And one of the great things that we have at Echo Church is we have opportunities for people in every giftedness or talent area, and in every space, even in your job or career, to really make an impact in someone's life by just leveraging what you've been given to shape a life. And one of the things that we offer to everyone at Echo is this Right Now Media content. So all of our campuses today, you received this when you came in. If you can locate this little card, says Right Now Media. Right Now Media is like Netflix with Christian content that you can use to huddle a small group of people in a coffee shop, in your home, or in whatever you like to, whatever space you want to use, and then start to shape their hearts toward Jesus. And you can pick a theme related to a topic you love. It can be marriage, parenting, finances, work, work, family, whatever it is that you love and you want to invest in. And then ask others to come in with you and watch these videos together in one semester. And that can be one of the best opportunities to shape a life this coming year. Not only that, I want to just finish by saying this. Some of you at Echo today, you've heard this message, and you're like, I don't even know Jesus yet. And you've now understood why the message of Jesus has been ringing and echoing from generation after generation. It's because of his belief in the potential of people. See, the scripture says that he so loved the world that he gave his life for us. And a part of becoming a hero maker is first encountering that love of Jesus, which would then change our priorities and our goals and our lives so that our lives can be models for others. And if you haven't yet taken that step of faith, I want to invite you to do that today. Say, Jesus, I want to relinquish control of my life to you. I want you to reshape my priorities. I want, Jesus, you to forgive me of my sins, and I want to follow your teaching so that I also can be a hero maker. Would you join me in prayer? Father, I want to ask that as we together close our time, that you would inspire us at every campus today to think beyond ourselves, to think about how to make a multiplication type of impact through our life, not just thinking differently, but practicing these principles so that every day, God, starting tomorrow on Monday, that we would see people the way that you see them, that we would invest in a few and believe in them, and that our lives would count so that it would echo beyond just now. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.